Okay, we're here with Claire Pardee from the Healthcare Consortium, and we are going to be talking about the Healthcare Consortium, which is celebrating, amazingly, its 20th anniversary. Hello, good morning, Claire.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me today.
You are welcome. Now, tell me all about the Healthcare Consortium, because I'm incredibly interested to know about what you do. I read a little bit of background. It's your 20th anniversary year, which is just, I think, amazing.
Yeah, we think so, too. So the Healthcare Consortium is a private, not-for-profit organization. We are based here in Hudson. We have offices in Hudson, and we serve all of Columbia and Greene counties. And even some of our programs reach into Northern Dutchess County as well. And as you mentioned, this is our 20th year of operation. We were founded in 1998 by a number of stakeholders. A lot of county public officials were involved. The Columbia Memorial Hospital was involved. And, you know, a number of other interested parties. You know, I like to say that the consortium was born out of a community conversation about unmet community needs and how to respond to those.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so you, as I said to you when you walked in, I could tell immediately that you were not the founding director. When did you come to the Healthcare Consortium? Where did you come from, and why did you come?
Oh, great question. So I have been the executive director at the consortium for about 6.5 years. I started in August 2011. My predecessor was a woman named Diane Fransman, who, although she wasn't the very first executive director, really did come shortly after the founding of the organization and was the director for about 11 years. And so Diane was the person chiefly responsible for building out the program portfolio at the consortium and growing the organization over a number of years. I'd like to say when I inherited it, it was really like fully baked. It was had been very thoughtfully conceived, very well organized. So, you know, when we think about organizations in their life cycle, it was really already pretty mature. So if I've done anything during my tenure, it's sort of, I like to say, I've tightened the screws on the outside edges, you know, and just kind of shined it up a little.
I like that. You've done a detailing job.
That's right. So I had come from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene counties. At that time, I had been the coordinator for community health and wellness programs. So I was already working in the field of public health, but I would say that coming to the consortium put my feet more firmly planted in that that area.
And then the other question was, why did you come to the Healthcare Consortium?
You know, I was very attracted by the opportunity to, as I said, you know, work more squarely in the field of public health. But, you know, for me, that's a matter of social justice. I was very, I found the mission very appealing. The central mission at the Healthcare Consortium is to improve access to healthcare services and also to generally support the health and well-being of our rural residents. I had had my own battles negotiating the healthcare system myself. My first child, a son who is now about to turn 11, was born prematurely. And 3 years later, my daughter was as well. So, you know, when you have a preterm infant, you spend a lot of time in a hospital, you spend a lot of time, and maybe more to the point, on the phone with insurance companies trying to
negotiate.
And I remember thinking at the time, first of all, I wasn't working at the time. I was fortunate enough to be at home on a full-time basis with my son. And, you know, I might spend several hours each day in this fight, in effect, with the health plans. And I remember thinking, boy, you know, what if I was working? You know, what if I didn't have the English language skills and maybe the education to really be able to absorb the very complicated language of the system and of health insurance? You know, and even what if I didn't have the disposition for that fight? And I thought, boy, if I ever had the opportunity to get into patient advocacy work, that's where I would love to find myself. And so it wasn't immediate, but about 3 or 4 years later, yeah, I got that opportunity by being invited to be the director of the consortium. I looked at it.
And being a patient, having someone to advocate for you as a patient is incredibly important. You know, just personally, my mother in her elderly years had there. She has three children, myself, my brother, and my sister. Now, my sister is a nurse with a master's in geriatric nursing. And my brother is a physician. And so they, I did certain things, like I made sure the electricity bill was paid. But they knew the system and could navigate it. And I know that extended my mother's life by several years.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, the, as you say, it's it really is a complicated system. We, you may have actually seen healthcare consortium billboards at various locations in Columbia and Greene counties. And our current billboard says, healthcare is a maze. We can help you get through it. And I think that's really the case.
It really is.
It's a very complex and often fragmented system. You know, people tend to, fall through the space between care settings. They fall through the space between providers, you know, and, you know, part of the healthcare consortium's role is what I would call wayfinding. You know, that's a big, big aspect of all of our work, regardless of the program, is helping people to navigate or negotiate that very complex system.
Which is brings me to the point of how do people find you and the healthcare consortium so that you can be of assistance to them?
Yes. So one of the I'll give the digits, as they say. Our telephone number is 518-822-8820.
Okay, say that again.
518-822-8820. And we also have a website, and that is, I'm afraid to say, www.columbiahealthnet.org. columbiahealthnet.org.
Okay.
It's a little cumbersome, I know, but... you can also
at least you have it and yeah. If you're gonna go if you what would you put into Google?
If you Google healthcare consortium, we actually come right up. So that's helpful. Relatively easy to find. You know, one of the things I like to say these days, and I'll tell you, when I was starting at the consortium, I made a real novice move. You know, people would ask me about the consortium, and I would hit them with all of our programs and services. And we do have a pretty extensive program portfolio. And, you know, and I would start at dizzying. And so I would start at the top and I'd work my way down the list. And, you know, 90 seconds into it, people's eyes would glaze over and I realized I lost them. And so over the years, I've really been simplifying the message. And one of the things that we like to say these days is that we are never the wrong door. We can always help. You know, often the system is so foreign to people that they're really not even sure what questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and because they don't have that clarity about the questions, they then don't take the initiative to pick up the phone and ask them. You know, one of the things that we do is listen. You know, listen to stories as they're being told and help people to really identify and articulate their unmet needs and then try to resolve those issues for them. So people come in, you know, when they find their way to our threshold, and I should say that we're very fortunate to be located in the Human Services Building at 325 Columbia Street. So that is actually a county-owned facility. Mm-hmm. That's a county building. We share space with the Department of Human Services and the Columbia County Mental Health Clinic, the Columbia County Office for the Aging, the Columbia County Department of Health, the District Attorney. All of those county public agencies are in that building, as are we, on the second floor. We have a beautiful office suite on the second floor. It makes a ton of sense for us to be there because really we often share clients with those other agencies.
I'm sure you do.
You know, it's sort of like one-stop shopping for people, and they may visit one agency and then visit with us in the same day. So when people come to our window, it's often the case that they just start telling our receptionist what's going on with them. You know, and so it's a process of, without having any really clear sense of what they're asking for. So it's really a process of listening and finding out what is the unmet need that has really brought them to our doorstep. We talk a lot about help-seeking behavior. So, you know, what is the problem or the issue that has prompted their help-seeking behavior? And we try to understand and address that issue first. Often it's the case that that's not the only issue. People are pretty complicated and they have pretty complicated lives.
And very complicated health issues because one thing cascades into the next. It's like the Titanic. You know, if the watertight decks had been a little higher, the ship might not have sunk.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there's definitely the complexity of conditions. But, you know, the other piece of, you know, we think a lot about a healthcare condition itself, you know, maybe the physical or psychological ailment. But there are also a number of effects that accompany that. So the impact, say, of a physical health condition on a person's mental or emotional well-being. There are also huge effects often of illness or injury on a person's financial well-being. One of the things that we do at the consortium is administer what we call community cancer funds. We have one in Columbia County and a separate one in Greene County so that every dollar raised is committed to helping residents in the county where the dollar was raised. And what we do with those funds is actually grant them to individuals with a positive cancer diagnosis. So, and the reason that we do that is because we recognize that
positive in the sense of,
in the sense that they have cancer. So, you know, and we know that they have then, you know, they're exploring treatment, but they're also often unable to work. You know, there's a lot of financial side effects, if you will, of a serious illness like cancer. So we will do things like pay for health-related expenses. We help with things like co-pays, co-insurance. We'll help people to meet their deductibles. Sometimes we'll actually pay for the health insurance premium itself just to keep the health insurance in place and functioning. But we will also pay for other kinds of expenses, household expenses that are really difficult to pay for any other way. So, you know, we'll pay for home heating oil. Sometimes we'll pay to keep the telephone service intact. We have paid to repair people's vehicles so they can continue to get to treatment. One of the big things that we do is actually offer Stewart's gas cards to individuals, because even if they're insured and don't have difficulty paying for that health-related expense, they may have difficulty paying for gas and tolls, getting themselves to and from Albany for chemo on a daily basis. So there are lots of unexpected expenses. And, you know, I learned this myself when I mentioned that my first child was born prematurely. And he was located for just over 6 weeks in a neonatal intensive care unit at Vassar Brothers in Poughkeepsie. I myself am a resident of Athens. You know, we did not anticipate traveling to and from Poughkeepsie on a daily basis and incurring that expense. Now, we had a support system, you know, in family who were, you know, with resources who supported us during that time. But it really tuned me in to the kind of financial hardship that really can be a byproduct of illness or injury.
One of the reasons that you are here today is that you are working to make sure that more people know about you. How are you doing that? How can we get this word out there?
Yeah, it definitely requires a multi-pronged approach. We've found that over the years. I mean, so one of the things that we do is avail ourselves of great opportunities like this to spread the word through through different forms of media. We have some billboards out there. We write a column once a month in the Columbia Green Media. It's usually printed in the Register Star and sometimes also in the Daily Mail. It's called For Your Health. Mm-hmm. And that column is written either by myself or other members of the senior staff at the consortium, focusing on sometimes our programs, sometimes on particular public health issues, but generally trying to impress upon people that we're out there as a resource. We spend a lot of time making sure that we have incredibly robust relationships with other community-based organizations. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, because actually referrals to the healthcare consortium are more often generated by other agencies, whether those are public agencies or other private not-for-profit organizations, than probably any other way. We need our partners out there to really understand our work, so that when they encounter our client that could benefit our services, that they don't to refer us. We have great relationships with particularly the Columbia County Department of Social Services. So a couple of our staff members are outstationed there on a weekly basis. So they actually have a workstation at DSS. And when a client is appropriate for our programs and services, they're referred directly to them. Other things that we do, you know, word of mouth is critically important. One of our programs, and I think it's one of our largest programs, and I think it may be the one for which we're best known, is our door-to-door non-emergency medical transportation program. So this is a program that provides transportation to Columbia County residents to and from their doctor's offices. And you'd be surprised what a big deal this is. You know, we have a lot of older residents, particularly in the outlying rural parts of the mm-hmm. county, that really have no ability to transport themselves to healthcare services. They may not have a vehicle. There's certainly no public transportation that they can rely on for that particular function. Mm-hmm. Their adult children may be living in Minnesota and the state of Florida. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that are quite alone. And they don't have the resources to pay for things like taxi cabs.
Well, and also not necessarily able to organize that either, even if they were.
That's right. And, you know, there are other things, too. I mean, one time, you know, there are plenty of people that do have a car in the driveway, but maybe they're going for chemo and will feel poorly afterwards. We transport a lot of people to dialysis on a weekly basis. We probably have 15 or 16 dialysis clients at any time. They feel very poorly after their treatment. Think about all the people that go to cataract surgery who really are unable to drive after that experience. The other thing is that we have rural residents that simply don't want to negotiate Albany city streets. So we're very happy to provide mm-hmm. that service. Those cars are, we have a fleet of 10 vehicles, and we're branding those so that they are sort of like traveling billboards.
Great, good idea.
And then the drivers, we think of those drivers really as ambassadors. They're men and women, almost exclusively Columbia County residents, most for, you know, most of their adult, if not all of their adult lives. They're very civic minded. You know, it's not accidental that they wound up at the consortium, and they do a fantastic job talking to their transportation clients about the other programs and services that we might provide. So word of mouth is actually critically important. So we really hope that anybody that has been touched by consortium services, you know, will really take a minute to let their friends and neighbors know.
Claire, thank you. I'm going to see if we can do the news. It's 9:30, so I am obligated to tell you that this is WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill. We are the voice of Green and Columbia Counties. We're back with Claire Pardee from the Healthcare Consortium. And I was saying while we were listening to, when I was talking with Claire while the news was playing, I was saying, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the services that the Healthcare Consortium offers. It's wide-ranging, and I think incredibly important, but too much probably to maintain. And I was saying that last night when I was studying up to be ready for this interview, I thought to myself, I'm not going to remember every individual service, but I will remember that this is a place that seems to be a resource for almost anything healthcare related. And Claire is nodding. You can't see that, but she is nodding. So, Claire, some of the resources and offerings that you have.
Sure. So one of the things we think about is, you know, it's part of our central mission is really improving access to healthcare services. So we are not a healthcare provider in any way. Mm-hmm. I would think of us more as a partner in healthcare by supporting access to services. And, you know, we think about access in a lot of different ways. Physical access to services, transportation, that's huge. And I talked a little bit earlier about our non-emergency medical transportation mm-hmm. program. We're facilitating people's physical access to healthcare. Financial access is another huge piece of it. So what are our programs that address that? Certainly health insurance coverage is really key to accessing our healthcare system and the way that it's designed in the United States at the moment. And so we have a program called the In-Person Assister / Navigator Program. It's funded by the New York State Department of Health, and we are part of a statewide network of navigators that provide in-person assistance to individuals and families and small businesses enrolling in health insurance on the New York State of Health. Mm-hmm. The New York State of Health being the official health plan marketplace for the state of New York, also sometimes called a health benefit exchange. These were the exchanges that were provided for in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the ACA. And New York State was one of those to build its own exchange. And so public health insurance programs are offered on the exchange. That includes Medicaid, Child Health Plus, and the Essential Plan. But also commercial self-pay products are offered on the exchange. They're called qualified health plans, but these are from, you know, all the carriers that you would recognize, MVP, CDPHP, et cetera. And so our navigators meet with individuals and help them to enroll in whatever the appropriate product is on the New York State of Health. That's a huge service. It's probably one of our busiest services. We probably see more people in that program than any other.
I can only imagine.
And yeah, and this is both in Columbia and Greene counties. So people are absolutely welcome to call and make an appointment in our office. We also happily receive walk-in clients. And I do want to mention that we both we have staff with both Spanish language facility and also Bangla, so the language of the Bengali community.
Mm-hmm.
So people can drop in or make an appointment, or they can visit us at 21 other locations throughout Columbia and Greene County. So one of the things that anybody, including the healthcare consortium, has to do when they're programming in a rural area is take the show on the road. You know, we can't always expect residents from the Twin Counties to come to our office in Columbia County in Hudson. Think about the individual that lives in Jewett or in Tannersville. You know, the mountaintop is in Greene County is an underserved area. You know, but think also about the client that lives in New Lebanon or Canaan. These are great distances away. And so we make sure that we take the service to them by having regularly scheduled sites in the farthest reaches of both counties. And then also, too, I want to mention that if people are ever homebound, mm-hmm. We can send a team of navigators to meet with them in their home as well. So really, it's all about figuring out how to meet people where they are and reach them with that service. So that's the Navigator program is one way in which we think mm-hmm. about financial access. We also have what we call the Cancer Services Program.
Mm.
And the Cancer Services Program pays for breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer screenings for the uninsured and the underinsured. Now, there continues to always be a population. It's not huge, but there's always a population in the Twin Counties who are uninsured. And so imagine, let's say, a woman who is uninsured, who is doing perhaps a self breast exam and encounters a lump. you know, she feels incredibly stuck, right? What's the next step is probably screening by a professional healthcare provider, and then perhaps further diagnostic testing if it's warranted. She has access to none of those services, or so she thinks, because she's uninsured. That's where the Cancer Services Program can help. By enrolling in our program, we can pay for screening for that individual, as well as further diagnostic testing if that's warranted. And in the unfortunate case of somebody who is actually proves to have a cancer diagnosis as a result, we can actually facilitate their enrollment in the Medicaid Cancer Treatment Program, so their cancer treatment will be paid for as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's important to say to people on the front end of the process, because that woman says, you know, I can't even afford to get the mammogram. What am I going to do with bad news if I get it? And so we actually have to tell them at the outset that we will stay with them through the process, and also provide case management and other kind of support to them while they go through it. So I tend to think about our breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer screening program as falling into that financial access bucket, if you will. We also have a program called the Prescription Access and Referral Program. You know, far too often people are provided scripts for prescription medications that they really have no ability to fill. This happens often with individuals taking behavioral health medications, which are incredibly expensive. It also happens often for our seniors who are on fixed incomes and suddenly can't afford the prescriptions that, you know, ostensibly are necessary for their ongoing health and well-being. So we can step in those cases. We are often helping individuals to secure their first prescriptions, perhaps after a discharge from the hospital. You know, people may be discharged from the hospital with prescriptions that they're unable to fill. So, and invariably this seems to happen at Friday on a 4 o'clock, and we can have them with a prescription in hand within an hour. We have relationships with a lot of the pharmacies in the community, meaning both in Columbia and Greene counties. And we can work with the pharmacy to obtain an estimate of the cost and typically pay by phone with the company credit card. So the person merely has to retrieve the prescription on their behalf. But that's just sort of a short-term solution for them. Then we work on a longer-term solution by helping them to enroll in the patient assistance programs that most of the big pharma companies offer. They're not necessarily well-advertised and therefore well-known, but most of the big pharma companies have patient assistance programs that will help offset the cost of prescription medications for a year. So that's kind of the long game, if you will. And we think about that a lot in our work. I talked earlier about people's help-seeking behavior, you know, and really helping to understand and address the need that really drove them to our doorstep. But it's often the case that, as you know, we unpack a number of different issues, and sometimes underlying issues that precipitated that crisis, and try to address those. So we kind of have both a short game and a long game, if you will, really trying to wrap an individual in services and refer them to programs that will help them in the long term.
I have this image that's coming to my mind, is that somebody comes in with an uncompleted puzzle and you help them put the pieces together so that there's a complete picture.
Yes, that's right. And we, you know, invariably, like any good puzzle maker, you know, we start with the edges and work our way to the inside, you know, those core issues. And, you know, it's so often the case that not only can people benefit from the programs and services at the consortium, and we do, you know, there's a point of entry, if you will, and then we, you know, so they might start by working with the Cancer Services Program, but our screening suggests that they're Medicaid eligible, and so then we direct them to the Navigator program, which helps them with Medicaid enrollment. But before that kicks in, they have a script, and so we walk them over to the Prescription Access and Referral Program. So it's often the case that we're wrapping an individual in different programs and services that we offer at the consortium, and all the teams work very, very closely and well with each other. You know, it's that there's a team approach almost to every case. But we also make sure that we're very well versed in the programs and services that are offered by our partners in the community, whether those are the county's public agencies or other not-for-profit organizations. We think of it as part of our job to really understand the whole landscape of services so that we can make appropriate referrals for people as well. So it's really thinking about how we can bring all the resources to bear for an individual to improve their health and well-being. So those are the programs that I think of as falling into that financial access bucket. The cancer funds that I told you about earlier probably fall in that bucket as well. And I should mention that we have other little pots of money that help people with the kinds of expenses that are otherwise hard to pay for. For instance, so many of our older adults actually find themselves on nutritional supplements like Boost or Ensure, none of which are tend to be covered by Medicare. We can help with those kinds of expenses. Sometimes people have medical equipment expenses that for which there's no payor, and so we can step in as well. So, think about that as the financial access bucket.
Can I? There's a question because we know, I think, pretty indisputably that opioid issues are very serious here in Greene and Columbia counties.
Yes.
What can someone with that kind of issue in their family, is there anything you can do for them to help them?
Yes, yes. So I actually think that, so as it happens, I'm rather involved in that issue. And so, reasonably well acquainted with all of the stakeholders that are working on the issue and the resources that are available to folks. So people can definitely call me, and I would probably give them pretty good leads to where to go. There's a few things that I would mention now. So we do have a licensed treatment facility in the county. Mm-hmm. That's Twin County Recovery Services. So the New York State agency that oversees treatment services in the state of New York is called the OASAS, Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse Services. And Twin County Recovery Services is the OASAS licensed treatment provider in Columbia County. And so they have outpatient services. They also provide residential services, lots of individual and group work, for treatment. That is where I would direct, any Twin County resident. Absolutely. There are also organizations that are really working on supporting recovery. And in that particular case, I would highlight the Columbia County Pathways to Recovery, CCPR. This is a group that grew out of an effort in Chatham a year or more ago, and is now really formed its own not-for-profit organization. It's a 501c3, and they're doing great work around supporting recovery. One example of that is their recovery helpline. And so this is what I would think of as part of the community's response to the crisis. So when an individual or a family member of a person, afflicted with addiction has issues, the recovery helpline is a great place to call. I'm mortified to say that I don't remember the number offhand. It is HOPE 365, but I want to say it's 1-877-HOPE-365. I'll get 50 lashes with a wet noodle later if I've gotten that wrong. But it does also have a web presence. So that's Columbia County Pathways to Recovery. Mm-hmm. The Columbia County Mental Health Clinic also has a crisis line. So people can call that resource, as does the Greene County Mental Health Clinic. So all of those providers are able to properly direct somebody. And then there's two, I want to point out that there is prevention programming happening in both counties. And this is largely school-based, but there is also some community-based prevention programming. And this is really about getting about direct education and raising the level of awareness among school-age children, but also community, other community members at large, to make sure that everybody understands that there is a serious concern in our counties. I think the old way of thinking about drugs and addiction is that it's an urban problem. Mm-hmm. You know, that's simply not the case, and it's actually particularly not the case in the as it relates to this particular epidemic. You know, it has afflicted rural areas to a much greater degree than urban areas. It's also blown up any of the old thinking about who is susceptible to addiction. There is no profile for the opioid addict. It's everybody, people of all ages, both genders, all races and ethnicities, all income levels. That's right. I mean, it's really, it's a very widespread problem. In fact, OASIS, which I mentioned earlier, has committed funding specifically to both Columbia and Greene counties. They're separate grants, and they came at separate times, but both within the past 12 months. They're called State Targeted Response Monies, and Twin County Recovery Services is responsible for administering those funds. And the reason both counties are in receipt of those funds is because when measured, you know, when compared to all the measures, meaningful measures about the magnitude of the problem, we ranked quite high. So, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in opioid-related deaths, 1, 2, or 3 in terms of opioid-related hospital admissions and so forth. Whatever the dimensions are that were used to evaluate the severity of the problem, they were high enough in Columbia and Greene counties that we are in receipt of these state-targeted response funds.
Wow. I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize that it was quite that bad. Because I think of myself as living a fairly insulated life, but I do know of people who have opioid problems mm-hmm. in my life that I care about very deeply, and that's not the way it used to be.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's I think there's an element of being caught by surprise. You know, I've been probably working on the issue for about, let's say, 4 or so years. But I remember the moment when I was sitting at a conference. I think I was in Lake Placid at the time, and had a colleague mention addiction to prescription opiates as a huge issue in the North Country. And I was flabbergasted. I remember my response, and I was thoroughly astonished to hear it. You know, I said something like, what?
You
know,
what?
Yeah, I've never heard of this before. And that precipitated me coming back and starting to poke around, you know, and it was like right there under the surface. It was just like I just had to peel back that top inch of soil, and there it was. And the issue continued to escalate, and I'm not sure that we've turned the corner yet. You know,
no, I don't think so either. I mean, I just don't see it yet. I think there is a torn. I think we may be able to see enough down the road to see a corner that could be turned, but I don't think we're there yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel particularly sad, especially when they are young people who have children.
Oh, yeah.
And are struggling. It's just, it's one of the pains of our time.
Well, and it's a pain of our time, and it's a function of pain, you know, and I think that we, you know, we have a responsibility to talk about the root causes of addiction. There's a public health concept that's been talked about in the past couple of years, and that is, you know, it's captured in this phrase, deaths of despair.
Yes. And I just want to remind our listeners that we are listening. We're having a conversation with Claire Pardee of the Healthcare Consortium. I'm Matthew Tombers. I am the host of the Wednesday morning show. this being the last Wednesday morning show I'll do, so it's very emotional for me because I've really enjoyed doing this and being with you. But we're listening to Claire Pardee talk about some of the most important issues of our time here in Greene and Columbia County, healthcare for people across the spectrum. And Claire, please repeat your number and your website so that we can make sure that people get out your pencils and papers, your pens, your computers, your phones, open it up to that little note section and take note of the phone number for the Healthcare Consortium, which is
518-822-8820. That's 518-822-8820. We can be found on the web at www.columbiahealthnet.org. That's that columbiahealthnet.org. I should really change that sometime, but bear with me. You can Google us by typing in the Healthcare Consortium. And we can also be found in person on the second floor of the Human Services Building at 325 Columbia Street here in Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. And thanks again for having us on. And we feel particularly privileged knowing especially that it's your last show and that you're sharing the space with us. It's really great.
Well, no, I just am so delighted because I knew sort of kind of about the Healthcare Consortium. But I had no idea all of what you did and how, and I think this is particularly important because, as you said, there are lots of people who don't have the resources to put the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was very lucky in my family when my mother was in her declining years because I still have an extraordinary sister who had a master's both in psychiatric nursing and in nursing for the aged. And I had a brother who was a doctor who was very well liked in Minneapolis, which was our hometown. And so that made things enormously easy because my sister knew how to do the paperwork. My brother knew how to work the healthcare system. And I don't have that. And I know that there are times that I have questions and I don't know quite where to go. But I have, as you said, I have the ability to use the English language to help me get to where I want to go. Not everybody has that same facility, even if they are native English speakers. And sometimes the complexity is so overwhelming, you need an advocate. And I think what you're doing is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you bring up a good point about the complexity of the system and the necessity of having somebody at your side advocating on your behalf who has seen it before. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I think about all of these people who are trying to grasp the system in order to get themselves or a loved one through it. You know, why should they have that burden of learning all of that for the first time when the folks at the Healthcare Consortium have seen it a million times, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really almost about sharing our knowledge of the system and the benefits that that provides with others. That's how I felt after my son was born, you know, and I went through that process. I thought, boy, you know, all right, I've been through the ringer, you know, it's almost a shame to waste what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that I could, you know, I could share it for the benefit of others. And that's, you know, that is in many ways what all the staff at the Healthcare Consortium do. They share the benefit of their knowledge of the system.
So whatever healthcare issue you have, be it opioid addiction, mm-hmm. be it HIV, be it cancer, be it sexually transmitted diseases, be it whatever, the Healthcare Consortium at 325 Columbia Street, second floor, I won't try to do the website or the phone number, they can help you and avail yourself of help because it is, our healthcare system is such that having an advocate by your side can make the difference between life and death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, I should say, too, this sort of wayfinding function that, mm-hmm. that we supply, you know, is particularly needed in counties with so many older residents. So Columbia County is actually one of the oldest counties in the state of New York, both in terms of individuals over 65, the proportion of individuals over 65 and over 85. So, you know, we rank one, two, or three, depending on what the measure is. So one of the programs that we have is called New York Connects. This is actually a subcontract with the Columbia County Office for the Aging.
And this is the morning show with Matthew Tombers on March 28th with Claire Pardee. And we're at 10 o'clock, and this is WGXC 90.7 Acre Hudson Catskill, all those places in green in Columbia County. We are your voice.
So New York Connects, it helps as a source of information, referral, and assistance who have need of long-term services and supports that from the community itself. So this is not for individuals who are in a nursing home or other type of facility, but rather who are hoping to stay in the community, typically in their own home, but need services and supports in the long term to be able to do that. That applies, of course, to the aged, as you could imagine, but it also applies to individuals who are disabled at any age. So for individuals who have physical disabilities, disability by virtue of mental illness or substance use disorder, or disability by virtue of an intellectual or developmental disability. So we really concern ourselves with all of those disability groups and provide that information and referral through New York Connects. So that's another example of that kind of wayfinding, facilitating access through wayfinding. And quickly thinking about those disability groups reminds me of the Columbia County Community Services Board. Every county in the state of New York has a Community Services Board, which is charged with ensuring that there are adequate services for those three different disability groups that I just mentioned. And I'm very happy and very honored to say that the Community Services Board will be honoring the Healthcare Consortium tonight at its annual dinner. The CSB dinner. It's always at Kozel's. It's always a very nice event. I've been attending for many years. This year, I'm happy to say that I can accept an award on behalf of the Healthcare Consortium and all of its excellent staff who make it possible from the Community Services Board tonight.
Okay. Thank you so much, Claire Pardee, for being here with me today.